Hello and welcome to the Evolve Pipedrive podcast, where we talk all things sales, Pipedrive, apps and a Pipedrive marketplace. My name is Bruce Bignall, I'm sales director here at Evolve, and today I'm welcomed by Sindra Harland, the CEO and co-founder of SalesScreen, a global sales platform that combines gamification with data visualization, which integrates natively with Pipedrive. Now, I'm really excited to be talking with Sindra today for a number of reasons. Because throughout my research for this interview, I noticed there was a common thread throughout Sindra's outlook in building his company. And that is, he really cares about motivating everybody in a sales team. That's from the top performers to those that are struggling at the bottom. And two, SalesScreen is on the Pipedrive marketplace, ready for you to try out, and we'll be sure to have links in the description below. So Sindra, welcome. Please can you introduce yourself, SalesScreen, to our audience, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for having me. I'm a Norwegian Viking. I'm a tech geek by nature. I've coded since I was my early teenager days. And I stumbled into this dream of creating a business that would create a software as a service. And I didn't know which one to create. So there's for sure a story behind how SalesScreen came to be. But I would say, you know, today I'm a very normal guy. I've been here now for more than 10 years. I usually live in New York. I split my time between New York City and Norway in Europe. So that's a bit long commute. Live together with my wife, two kids. I have a dog. You know, classic dad type of guy, but with a bit more than average hectic schedule, growing a company for sure.
No, I love it, and thank you. I know this has been quite a stressful week for you, just moving back to Norway. You know, from the day to day, bringing the family there. So, yeah, very appreciative of having you here. So I might have said to you beforehand, but a lot of our listeners are already on Pipedrive or they're considering the switch. So I think wherever you sit in that camp, if you're on Pipedrive or if you're considering the switch, I think you're going to get a lot of value listening to Sindra. In one, he's built this company over the last 10 years. He knows the industry inside and out, and he knows what his product can do for sales teams. So what is SalesScreen? What does it do? What does a typical SalesScreen customer look like?
Yeah, so SalesScreen is a sales gamification platform. So what we do is that, I guess in simple terms, you could say we execute revenue strategy. Once you know how to go to market, there are certain things salespeople can influence themselves. Those are activities that fuel our product, and we have added tons of elements of motivation. And incentivation and creating an atmosphere of appreciation and recognition around these activities, leading them to do more. So we gamify the everyday work of salespeople to make it more fun and exciting, resulting in increased performance and engagement, better retention of staff, and better skill sets of salespeople.
So you mentioned their motivation and kind of the incentivization. So do you see this as a platform that if you're a sales manager and you want to get the most out of your sales team, or do you see this as a tool for small? How would you see that as a split and kind of the user and how people would use the platform?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say it's more built for the sales people. It's good for them first, but there's naturally huge advantages to the sales managers as well and the executives on the top, because there's an element, as you mentioned in the beginning, of data visualization, and you can very quickly identify trends and see how you're performing in real time across the board. But what's unique and what's like secret sauce is that we have all of these elements from the gaming industry that really makes it easy for you to, once you kind of like identified we have a performance issue, let's say we're not booking enough meetings this month, we're not going to hit next month's target, like how can we fill that gap? So maybe you spin up a competition, maybe you add some more virtual coins into the mix for every meeting booked, maybe you like give extra love and attention as a top manager for those that are able to book the next meetings in the social feed and interact with them, even if they're working from home. Like those type of elements are available and present and top of mind in our platform. It's built for creating like an atmosphere of winning behaviors, kind of like recreating the buzz of the sales floor in a digital matter. So
yeah, and that probably to your point there, working remotely, how do you build that kind of sales culture when people are sitting in their spare bedrooms, now their office? how do you kind of build that together? There's something that I noticed on the platform, that the battle, is it the battlegrounds or the battles, which isn't led by the necessarily the sales manager, right? This is the individuals in your team to say, hey Sally, hey Jason, let's go head to head, like who's going to hit target this month. So how did, was that always there at the beginning? So how is that kind of continuing to grow, you know, from the from the gamification into the platform?
Yeah, I mean, we've been on the market since 2014. And what I set out to do, like initially, was really to have a product that solves real problems, and which is fueled by the desires of our customers. So I have no illusions of grandeur and think that I'm smarter than everyone else. So most of the things that is available in our tool right now is a direct consequence of customers requesting it, and in some cases, even being willing to pay premium for us to prioritize it on the roadmap. So the battles is no exception. We had great success with our competition module. So you can, set up competitions for your teams and individuals in a matter of minutes with different types of game mechanics. Doesn't only have to be leaderboards. And some people are motivated differently. You know, we have the killer type, if we're looking at the Barter's taxonomy of players. And they love competitions. And they were like, my manager is not putting up enough competitions. Like, we need, we want to compete more, you know? Not everyone is like that, but some are. And in that case, you know, allowing them to do just that, to challenge other colleagues to a head-on-head battle, and even wager some of their digital currency inside a tool that you can exchange for rewards, like, to have some skin in the game, and just broadcasting it across TV screens and office space and the web dashboard and mobile app, like, hey, there's a battle going on and people can track and follow who's winning and who's leading. You know, that's a ton of fun. And it just amplifies that battle. And of course, they're battling on business metrics. They're battling on tasks completed in Pipedrive, in the, opportunities being progressed in the Pipedrive, you know, the amounts of cost won. Marketing Pipedrive, you know, those types of KPIs or activities is what is fueling all of these competitions and battles and everything in SalesStream.
Yeah, and so you mentioned that the killers, right? So the guys are always going to be at the top. But how does that enable, or how can that empower the people at at the lowest end of the team, right? Because you always want to give as much. If people aren't good enough, that they'll leave, right? But you want to be able to coach, or you know, to raise the level of all performers in the team. And you mentioned there about the kind of tracking activities or seeing the progression. How can this platform help, you know, the rest of the team, not just the killers at the top? How do you see that being?
Absolutely. Funny thing is that we've run tons of thousands of competitions in our platform, and we've crunched the numbers. The top 10% performers, they usually see an increase during a competition of like 17.8%. While if we look at like the bottom 10 to 20%, they see an increase of 128%. So for instance, you set up a competition on, let's say, calls made this week, you can expect that the bottom 30%, they're going to more than double their call volume just because there's a competition ongoing. And the middle of the pack is usually around 40%. And what I'm basically saying here is that the top performers is always going to be on top. They're intrinsically motivated. They have like a drive from within. They're going to make it no matter what. The key is to kind of like get the middle performers and the bottom performers engaged and excited. And for instance, if we're talking competitions in specifically, like how is it that we create a competition? We usually create like, whoever books the most amount by this month wins, and then we give prizes to top one, two, and three. Like, who do you motivate? Well, you created a competition to motivate the top performers. It makes no sense. They're already motivated. They're intrinsically motivated. But I mean, what you should do is to take inspiration from like Formula One, where you end up in Formula One, you get points, And in our world, you can give out this currency. So why not tier drop it down to the top 50% performers so that it actually matters if you end up at 20th or 19th place. The higher you end up, the more coins you get, the quicker you can get the reward that you're saving up for, that being a day off or an Amazon gift card or whatever. The point is, now there's multiple competitions going on in this one standard one. But
So it's
that's one way
relative,
of
right?
doing it.
So,
Yeah.
yeah. So, it's, yeah. So,
It's
so just
relevant. Yeah,
to
that's the key, right?
explain that teardrop analogy. So for listeners there, so that would be more. So you're finishing. So use the Formula One, right? So you 10 points, 8 points, six as you come down. So is that?
And then you accumulate those points over time and you can exchange that for gifts. So it actually matters, giving that tiny bit extra. And that's what we're trying to do with a competition. We want to elevate, the performance, give it a boost to rectify, a gap that you've identified or course correct, right? So it's like, just get that little tiny bit of extra activity from everyone. That's going to make a huge difference for the company. That's going to move the needle. So another, fantastic way you can set up a competition with or without sales screen. I'm just going to add value here, but introduce the element of chance. In that way, let's say instead of having your regular weekly competition, be it on sales or in calls, a meeting set or a point-based system, doesn't matter, but turn it into lottery tickets. Let's say for every meeting you book, you get a ticket. If you just book one meeting, you can get a ticket. Everyone can do that. So in that case, what you're saying is to the bottom performers and the middle performers who've never been able to win a single prize at work and can never come home to their, husband or wife and say, "Hey, look what I just won at work." Now they have a fighting chance. As long as I get one, I have a ticket and they're going to spin the wheel and I might win the grand prize. If I get two, I have twice as much, chance to win. So it's still going to motivate the top performers because they have a higher and higher degree of likelihood to win. But it's very dramatically different what you're saying to an organization. As long as you do something, it's okay, And to mix it up like that's important.
That's a really nice example. Have you any examples of those that were lower performers winning a competition like that, then improving their subsequent performance because they understood the more meetings they booked, the more tickets they had, and they loved the trip that they got, or, the bottle of wine that they got to take home, whatever it was. Is there any examples of that happening? So basically that enables a lower performer to actually get out of their rut or to see themselves as a winner, which then allows them to start performing at the higher levels. Is there any examples of that?
Yeah, plenty of examples like that. And now we're in a way bridging out of just the competition side of like sales screen ecosystem because we're a gamification platform. So it's much more than contests. It's we see plenty of examples of middle performers and bottom performers that are of different types. If we go back to this taxonomy of players, yes, you have the killers, but you also have the socialites and the explorers. And for them, it's different things driving them. It might not just be that leaderboard. It could be the praise and attention that you get from colleagues. So being able to celebrate the tinier achievements along the way, you just progressed your fifth opportunity from stage one to stage two this month. That's amazing. You've never done that many before. So new personal record. Let's highlight that. Let's give them a badge. Let's show them in the social feed. Maybe the top dogs are also take notice. They give a thumbs up, write a comment. You start to feel very much more appreciated for the hard work that you're putting in. No, you're not the top performer, but you're being seen, you're being valued for what you're doing. And it's the best that you have ever done. And just being able to give that feedback like continuously, it's going to create engagement. That is an engagement loop. You know, you take action, you get feedback, and that's going to spring back into more action because you feel rewarded. And that's you know, achievements is it's a great section to do this. Like for the explorers, they can go into achievements, they can see, you know, oh, if I do 100 dials today, I'm going to get this badge. You know, that's amazing. What happens when they do that day two? Well, they're on a 2-day streak. Okay, interesting. I'm starting to build up a streak. Like there's the weekend, that's fine. You take that into account. Then you're Monday again, you're 6-day streak, and you manage to take 100 dials every day. You start to feel loss aversion. I don't want to lose the streaks. I have a fire ring around this in my profile now, and like people take notice. And then you build it, and you have streak legal leaderboards, and you have like this psychological contract with yourself that you don't want to lose that. You feel loss aversion, you know? And then you've changed a middle performer to now really care about making 100 dials per day. You've created a new consistent habit, and you've made them ramp up their activity level. And if they can still keep that same level of skill, and you do one-on-one check-ins and coaching and make sure that they retain that conversion rate, you are absolutely going to sell more.
It makes me think about the kind of the identity piece, right? So that all of that kind of the streaks. I think it was Jerry Seinfeld spoke about that as the most important thing. You know, just and even with a lot of the social media platforms now, the checking in streaks or whatever it might be, the reply streaks, whatever you might have there, it's about identity as well, right? So, and if you're leveling up your identity as a performer and as an individual contributor in the team, you then don't necessarily see yourself as the lower performer because it's relative. You are still succeeding in your relative sphere, but maybe moving upwards. But
There's,
yeah, I love that. Yes.
I love what you're saying right now because what you're actually talking about is the game economy. So what we often think about is that you can give out things. You can give money to people and you can give them things. There are actually three other currencies in a gamified environment. You know, the second thing you can give is to give fun. You know, fun is the currency that you might earn in a gamified environment. But the two most powerful ones is social capital and self-esteem. So if you created a gamified environment where you're able to gain social capital and self-esteem, you really hit home. And by that, I mean, for instance, you know, that top 10 performer badge, it's hard to get. It's very scarce, you know. I would love to get that because if I get that badge, I'm going to be noticed by my manager. They're going to mention it on the next, you know, town hall meeting, perhaps. You know, I can collect and see how many times I've received that. That's going to stick up on a profile page forever. So I can say that I've been a top 10 performer, you know, 5 times. Those types will intrinsically motivate you. You will find motivation from within. It's not about the things that you receive anymore. It's like, this is it's something that I really want because it gives me an elevated social capital in the company and just boosts my self-esteem. I'm starting to get self-determined. This is what I want to do. There's a lot of psychology in
Yeah,
gamification.
I was just thinking, so the self-esteem, right? So Maslow's hierarchy needs, so it's, what is it, what is he, what do you get closest to? And it's mastery. So if you can align that with your business needs and the KPIs, and you're aligning that incentivization with those badges, you're getting closer to mastery. So then as a business, if you've got your staff mastering what you need them to do and everyone's happy, that's a really nice loop.
I think I'm going to build on that actually because mastery is there's a very popular theory that is often referenced in science to explain why gamification works so well to really, you know, help achieve business outcomes. And the one that is most referenced is self-determination theory. And obviously we want people that work, you know, to be self-determined. I'm going to make this goal. Like I'm going to hit home this month, this quarter, this week. And in order to have workers being self-determined, you need three ingredients. You need to have autonomy. You need to feel autonomy. So that could be, you know, again, in the achievements, for instance, you can choose which one you want to hunt for. You have autonomy in what you want to do. You know, eventually everything's going to lead to the same business outcome, but you feel autonomy at your work. The second part is being connected or having a sense of purpose. So everything that you do is being noticed. You feel like you're one of a larger team. You know, people are liking, interacting, giving praise back and forth, endorsing each other. You feel connected to something larger than yourself. That's important. And the third one is, to your point, mastery. You feel mastery when you see that progress bar unlock that achievement, and you know you reach that target, and you've never been this high on the leaderboard before. You feel mastery over what you're doing, and you're being recognized for it. And if you have all those three ingredients, that's often when you will feel self-determined to do things, and that's going to give you increased performance and engagement.
Yeah, it's a really powerful combination there. And just to kind of bring it back to the platform and Pipedrive, right? So what types of businesses are using this? So are you seeing business sales teams of 5, 10, 200 people on this? What's the kind of typical, there might not be a typical one, but you know, the strongest use case for using SalesScreen there?
Yeah, no, I mean, transactional businesses, it's very easy to have an immediate ROI impact. If you're like selling to have a business to consumer type of business model, let's say you're insurance, you know, real estate, or maybe in banking, or I don't know, a contact center, a call center, you often have a very transactional sales cycle. It's fast and it's very volume based. So like picking up that phone or getting those meetings in, you know, the more work that you put in and things that you can really be the master of, the more you're going to get out. Those types of businesses are, of course, great. So they usually have at least, you know, 20 people. If you're less than that and all working at the same office, you know, you can recreate a lot of what we do with whiteboards and, you know, bells and gongs and stuff like that.
Well, that's why I remember I used to go up and press the James Bond car and
There we
write me
go.
up.
I love that.
Put my thing up on the whiteboard. It was always good.
Yeah, I mean, people have done this for decades, right? It's not, it's just that we've bridged the gap between remote workers and office, and kind of replaced the, instead of ringing a gong, you can have your own personal YouTube video showing up on TV screens across all your offices. You know, it's a bit more powerful. So if you don't want to have that James Bond sound, like you can have a different video. So yeah.
Yeah, you can do what you like there. And in terms of just in coverage wise, obviously you moved to the States, I guess, for business reasons, in Norway. So are you covering both markets, like EU, US?
Yeah, SalesScreen was founded in Norway, so it's originally a Norwegian company, but most of our traction right now is coming out of the US. So I moved to New York in 2019, and now I'm like living 50-50 split between US and Europe. Europe, I still have most of my product team, and I have offices across mainland Europe, you know, from Sweden to Amsterdam and many other places, but we're also present in the APAC region. So we have an office in Singapore, and we have partners around Singapore. So you know, if you're operating out of Indonesia or Malaysia, you know, we have local partners on the ground to help assist there as well. So we're truly a global company, global operations. We're the biggest and best in the sales gamification category. So that's important to note. And yeah, we're, I think it's a key, right? So if you want to succeed in markets outside of the US or UK, for instance, you know, you need to have localization or have the platform available in other languages. And we have all the main languages, including traditional Chinese, Thai, and you know, many others. So.
Yeah, no, it's super important, and I'll echo that the platform's UI is brilliant. It does look great. So what's the roadmap for SalesScreen? What does the future hold? Is it obviously you've got the is it more markets? Is it new features? What's the
I mean, to its core, we're always going to work and try to get people more excited to do their work. So we're going to add fun elements, things that gets us excited. You know, it's anything from in the reward shop, instead of just directly redeeming the rewards that you want, you could spin, do a lucky draw, It's been a wheel. Maybe that costs 100 coins and you can win 10,000 if you're lucky enough. Not something we have right now, but elements like that is always going to be added into the product and the platform. In general terms, there's two axes. There's performance and there's skills. And the latest module that we added is coaching. We do believe that data-driven coaching is really important. At some point, you have enough activity, and what you need then is skills. And the best way to gain those skills is through one-on-one conversation with your manager, where they have the overview of what you're doing and can identify those gaps and help coach you to improve those skills needed to get to the next level. So we're constantly looking at performance from many different angles, and how can we best help reps be better and hit their targets and surpass them and have more fun doing it.
No, I love it. Yeah, I think that the coaching element, I think that did you say the other day that this actually came from the customer? The customers are asking, they were giving the feedback using your data. And just to your point that you said earlier, you listened to what the customer said and then built that into the product, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we had testimonials all the way back to like 2014, 15, from banks talking about how they created coaching programs around SalesScreen because they now had like one central hub where they could see all the activities that they were doing and the performance that they had. So, it naturally sparked those types of conversations. Like, I kind of see you're struggling a bit on this side. Like, how can I help? So yeah, it was I would say, a natural evolution for our product and space, fueled by desire from our customers.
Yeah, very, very cool. And to bring it back into SalesScreen and Pipedrive, what does the integration look like? You mentioned earlier, what you can be the trigger event in Pipedrive, but just introduce that for us, please.
Sure. So we actually like to talk about it as an authorization because that's what it is, right? So it's like, you have a SalesScreen account, you have a Pipedrive CRM. You go into SalesScreen, you hit integrate with Pipedrive, and you grant access to Pipedrive. So that's the classic OAuth mechanism. Once we have that access, there is going to be created a set of what we call workflows automatically that typically keeps, closed won and tasks completed and stuff like that flowing over to SalesScreen in real time. So we have that sync. And these can be changed if you have custom entities or you don't want this dollar amount, you want this one instead. Those types of changes can be done very easily inside our graphical user interface. So the whole integration set up, in a matter of minutes. We can import historical data. And the best thing is, nothing happens in SalesScreen unless people do and track things the way they should in Pipedrive. So now you're actually starting to get better data inside your CRM. You're going to create adoption of your CRM as a consequence of gamifying the sales process.
So it's another good way to incentivize the people to start using the CRM if you want to get that social status and by using from the SalesScreen platform. The data has to be in Pipedrive.
And
Very cool.
that's what we need as top level executives because Pipedrive has the ability for us to actually spot the larger trends and if we don't get the data, if they don't track it correctly, it's a wasted asset.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we'll be sure to we recorded a short integration demo between the two systems, so we'll be sure to have that in the descriptions below. So Sindra, thank you so much for that. That was really, really useful and kind of introduction to the psychology around why you've built SalesScreen and how you've done it over the last 8 years or so. Can you tell me a little bit about your journey so far? And you mentioned at the very beginning there was a story around how you started SalesScreen. So if you don't mind, touch upon that and what's exciting, what are you most looking forward to in the next, 10 years or so with SalesScreen?
Sure. So yeah, I was a classical computer geek and decided to take my master's degree in computer science. And you know, I was surrounded by brilliant people, including a couple of them being Øystein, my co-founder and CTO, and Marius, my co-founder and CPO. And we eventually decided to, hey, you know, we can handle both, so we're going to start the business as we take this master's degree in computer science. And we're just going to do, you know, consultancy work to gain relevance and experience and money. And what we were going to do is to experiment and try to create different types of SaaS, and hopefully one of them is going to stick. Bear in mind, this is back in 2011, 2012, so it's very early in the SaaS days, and not much that really was in place. So it took a bit of work, and I of course did a major flaw as the first time founder. I started my first real SaaS idea based on a new technology. So push notification came to the market. We were like, okay, this can replace the text message for corporates. You know, let's go do a hackathon over the weekend. That escalated into becoming a year-long thing. And when we were finally ready to launch, the same week the text message became free of charge. So we're like, all right, this is interesting. We had no customers,
Data
nobody
then,
wanted
that's a very good
it,
point.
right?
Data then overtook the credits, right? Was that the shift? Yeah, okay.
No, so it was kind of like, all right, so that was my first SaaS, and obviously in a way that failed, but along the journey, we had an advertisement sales company come along, and they sent thousands of text messages internally every and the thing was that they sent a text message to everyone when somebody placed an ad or made a sale, you know, to create awareness and motivation and buzz, even if you were in the office or outside. And they tried to replace that text message concept to spark sales motivation with our tool. And they started to push us, like, hey, could you add, you know, a pie chart showing how much they sold compared to their colleagues this day, or and how they're trending towards their target. You know, eventually they're also asked, hey, can we have this up on TV screens in the office space? You have all this data now, you know. And that's when we created our second SaaS, integrated with this corporate messaging, now sales reporting tool. And suddenly we created something brand new. Like, people reacted crazy to this. Like, music was playing on the screens when they closed the deal in real time. They were jumping up and down. They were so happy, you know, they were fired up, and people took note, and they started to call us out of the blue and be like, hey, I don't know what this is, but I want to buy. So
Do
that
you
was
remember
kind of
your
like the
first
start.
paying client then?
Yeah, it was this
It
client, I
was
would
that
say, you
agency.
know, they transformed my bad sauce into a sales screen. And
That's amazing.
then the client number two, three, four, and five were all people who visited this call center. Or, you know, people who worked in that call center and changed jobs went to their manager and said, hey, you gotta buy this stuff. So, you know, we bootstrapped sales screen all the way up to 2018. That's the first time we raised money, and we had several $1 million in ARR at that point even. So it's been a cool journey.
Oh,
And
amazing.
for the future, you know, I'm definitely feeling that the pandemic unlocked a next type of journey for us. So we've grown faster and faster over the past couple of years. You know, there is a war on talent. People are resigning or reshuffling into other jobs. That's a problem. You know, creating an engagement and you know, an exciting atmosphere and a culture when people are working from home or remote is really hard. That's something that we do and help with. You know, so it just makes a lot of sense in the modern hybrid work place to have a tool like SalesScreen to really help create that or recreate that buzz of the classical sales floor and get people fired up. Also, you know, it's just like, you know, there's so many tools out there, which is AI based and machine learning this and that, and you know, increased efficiency. But where's the tool for the people? You know, the tool that sparks human emotion and gets them excited is.
That's linked to direct effort.
Yeah, it is, right? Like, if you have a person who's excited on in a meeting with you, you know, you're going to be more likely to buy. It's that simple. And we have no programs or tools or anything to help make sure that we have that level of excitement in the team. Like, that is gamification. That's why we exist. And I'm very excited for that next 10 years to make sure that people understand like the insane ROI from buying a tool at SalesScreen, to really target human emotions and unleash the potential that's within your revenue team today.
No, I love it. And yeah, thank you for sharing that story. It's nice to know that the you took the as it, also nice to know that the same founding team are together, right? So it sounds like everyone from that first text messaging to where you are now, which is yeah, very, very cool. So if we were to, as we come to close, if I was to ask you around highlights of the integration itself, you know, between SalesScreen and PipeDrive, have you got any very good use cases that you had people use between, like a highlight that you've seen between the two systems?
I mean, I've already covered most of the items, but I would say, you know, just being able to create adoption of PipeDrive, it's really important, because with SalesScreen you're going to get an environment where people want to add their data in, because all the bells and whistles goes off when once they do, you know, they're not going to progress in the competition or find the leaderboard or get coins they can exchange for rewards if they don't add stuff in PipeDrive. So you're going to create an option of PipeDrive, and that's going to be amazing. But also, you know, you're going to get more performance. You know, that's the key here. You can create competitions in a matter of minutes in multiple different ways, and you can create all these types of incentives, and that's going to fire people up. So you're going to retain and attract staff, you're going to identify and fill skill gaps, and you're going to be able to execute in revenue strategy and get people to move in the direction that you want much quicker and much agile than you did before.
That's a very good point. And then top tips for people getting started, you even thinking about gamification, because you mentioned there you might have a team of five people all in the same office, but so or that larger team that needs to have a product or platform like this. So if I was to ask you top tips for people getting started out, and then for those looking to excel at this, well, what would you say to both of those people?
Yeah, so just to make, I don't know if I said this, but like we usually have clients at least with 20 people, and newer clients is like 100 plus usually, so it's larger teams.
Yeah,
and we do cater to those with the longer sales cycles as well. It's just more we focus on the behaviors that they can change in here and now. Yeah. But I would say a general tip that is really important is to start simple. You know, a gamified environment needs to be simple. You focus on the things that individuals can change behaviors on themselves. And not like the lagging indicators, for instance, you know, net retention, net revenue retention is something that comes after the fact.
Yeah.
But being proactive and booking a follow-up meeting, that's something you can do here and now. And if you want to have more follow-up, if you have a hypothesis that more follow-up meeting is going to help generate better NRR, that's where you need to focus your time and effort. So know your funnel metrics and gamify the top of funnel metrics.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to get the most impact out of gamification. But obviously, you know, we help with all of this. There's trained consultants ready to do free consultations. Just go to our website, request a demo, and we'll guide you through gamification, what it is, how to gain success. You can even, you know, get a quick proof of concept with PipeDrive, since it's just a couple of clicks and you're integrated and ready to go. So it's I don't know what is there to wait on. It's like
so if it's getting started is keep it simple.
Yeah.
If it's for those looking to excel and they've you know been using gamification in their business for a while now, is there something that you would say to kind of really hone in that piece? Is it the coaching element to use your data for coaching? Is it to run a lottery? What would you say?
There's so many use cases, right? So it's like if you're already using elements of gamification or game elements in your business today, and that's amazing, you know, just make sure that you have a variety and a level of novelty or that is it feels new and exciting. Because if you do the same things over and over and over again, that might become a bit stale and unengaging. So you need to keep it fresh. So maybe this could be a great source for inspiration and something new that's gonna get you back to the heights that you were when you first launched the gamification initiatives, because we have so many different types of things in our platform. So it's something to consider at least. And it's also very important to take note on like, are the gamification initiatives aligned with the business outcomes that we want to drive? Because if it's not, it's not true gamification. You just provide fun, but for no purpose at all. It needs to align with the business outcomes. And just take a look at that and maybe redesign the thresholds of your achievements or make sure that it actually makes sense when they unlock these things and have fun in the gamified environment that you've created, that eventually is going to lead to the business outcomes that you want to drive. That link might get severed at times, but it's an important one to retain.
I think that's yeah, 'cause you might just be putting new reports or gamification elements into it that, to your point, actually more focused on the outcome versus than what it means to the individual.
I'll give you an example of a huge bank that we work with, and they had this idea of an achievement, where Globetrotter, where they were handling inbound calls. So once you had taken, an inbound call from 40 different zip codes, you would unlock this achievement, right? Which is fun, right? It's like, oh, I just need one more call from this zip code and I can get this achievement. But no, let's face it.
It's like bingo.
Yeah, it's like it's bingo. It's fun, but it's not linked to any business outcome. Like it should instead be you've answered 40 calls today. Like that is linked to a business outcome that makes sense. So instead, focus on that and not that you've handled it from 40 different zip codes. It just doesn't align with any sponsorship metrics. So yeah, that's a good
Yeah,
example
no,
to
that, I
use
think
here.
that's a really good example. I might push back and say you might want to have one day a month where you have random, not random, but the more exciting or fun competition to, because the zip code, yes, it doesn't move the needle for the business, but it might inspire or be a catalyst for, kind of the team. But
Yeah, I think you can do both. So that's my point.
you definitely should be doing both. I know that a lot of people from the Pipedrive, not just the community, but employees listen to this as well. So, as someone that knows Pipedrive, relatively well, are there any feature requests that you'd like to see in the platform? And we'll see if we can get it bumped up their roadmap.
Actually, I just want to give a shout out to Pipedrive team because we've worked with so many CRMs. We have integrations with almost everyone, and the Pipedrive API and documentation has always been phenomenal. It's been just like, yes, they have everything. They have webhooks. It's real time. It's easy to set up. It's easy to maintain. So it's great. And I don't personally have anything that I need Pipedrive to focus on right now. So keep up the good job and make sure to not trouble us. We're gonna do a lot of API calls your way.
Yeah, no, very, very, very cool. And just before we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to mention in before we sign off today?
I don't know, actually. I feel like I've covered a lot of ground in this conversation. So it's just if you're looking to explore gamification as a viable strategy for your business objectives, we're happy to be a sparring partner. And it's not like you need to choose us. Like as long as you do gamification and you see the serious nature of it, it's not like only fun and games. It has a serious business purpose. No, I'm happy. That's what important for me. Like I'm building a category here, so believe in it. It works. It has real impact, and our average clients see a lift in more than 40% increase in their core KPIs and activities, which is massive. So don't ignore it. Prioritize it. Your people is your biggest asset for sure.
And you mentioned a number of times that getting the most out of your revenue departments, your revenue teams, right? They are your biggest asset. So yeah, thank you so much for that. And we'll be sure to have links in the description below to trial sales screen and links to the PartJob marketplace as well. And so that's it for this week. If you'd like to get a demo, a personal demo, you can reach out to some of the team there. They'll be in the show notes. And thanks so much for listening to the Evolve PartJob podcast. We talk all things PartDrive, sales, apps, and PartJob marketplace. And please consider liking, subscribing, or sharing with someone you think might find this useful. Until next week, thank you very much. Cheers, Indra.
Chris.
Cheers.